If you have your Bible, I'm going to be looking over in the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2, we'll be looking at verse number 10 there. Luke, chapter 10, or 2, verse 10. And I know I always had some of my, I always like to have fine slogans or statements that are made about Christmas that are, some of them are old and some of them are new. But this is one of my favorites. And while you, I loved hearing the pages of the Bible turn. Isn't that great?
Amen.
This, y'all act like y'all are a bunch of Bible-believing, hard-headed, fundamental Baptists. Amen. I like those kind of people around here. Amen. That's my kind of crowd, all right? Well, here's one of my thoughts, my favorite saying. Jesus is the reason for the season.
Right.
Isn't that right? Thank God, you know, for the Lord. I mean, nothing wrong, you know, have Christmas with your family, give gifts and all that. Do you, if you do the Christmas or whatever you do, all that, you know. But in the midst of everything involved with Christmas, Jesus is still the reason for the season. Understand that, all right? Also, don't leave Christ out of Christmas.
Amen.
One of the worst things I ever used to hate to see, Xmas, instead of Christmas.
Amen.
Don't leave Christ out of whatever you do for Christmas this year, don't leave Christ out. Amen? You can leave your brother-in-law out or your mother-in-law out, but don't leave Christ out. He's the reason for the season. Also, the bread of life became the living bread. Did you know that? The bread of life, the Lord, he actually became the living bread. And I'm thankful for that today. And then also, don't get mad at me on this one here. This is how you get the message. This is how you get Christmas message out. Telegraph, telephone, tell a woman, tell a pastor, amen, a preacher, tell a shepherd. That's how you get the word out, amen. Got to tell somebody. Everybody's got to tell. Ladies, don't get mad at me, all right? Please, I didn't mean that. I tried to say it nice. And then Revelation 3:20 over there said that talks about that Jesus, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I heard a great preacher preach on this message on that. It's Jesus on the outside. People are knocking on the door on the outside wanting in. And then Jesus, when the door's open, Jesus on the inside. Amen. You get saved, he's on the inside. And then after you're saved, guess what? Jesus is on the other side. Amen?
Yeah.
He's on the outside first because people are lost. They're trying to get in. Then he's on the inside because you got saved by the blood of Jesus. And then guess what? They're on the other side. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm looking for that other side. I don't know about you, but I mean, I've got my parents, my wife's parents, our grandparents, and we've got all kind of family members. They're in heaven right now, and they're enjoying Christmas in their way. And one of these days, by the grace of God, if you're a child of God, you're going to be up there with them. Amen? Don't miss out on heaven. When the ship comes in, you better be on it. Amen? I believe in this old world right now. I'm not a prophet of doom, but I believe we're very close to the rapture right now. There's not one thing. I mean, when you got Mr. Putin in Russia, when you got that Chinese dictator over there, when you got this Jung Tong Yung, whatever he is, at South Korea or North Korea, we got a bad world happening here.
Yeah.
I mean, this world could be exploded right now with war, World War 3, 4, 5, or whatever. And the only hope we all have is the Lord Jesus. Amen. The rapture. I'm not looking for the Undertaker. Well, you know, when you shake, I do a lot of funerals. In fact, I'm doing one this Saturday. A lot of funerals. And you know what's always weird every time I do a funeral? You shake hands with those undertakers. Boy, their hands are so clammy. You know, I don't like to shake an undertaker's hand, man. But anyway, I believe today that we to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. And I believe heaven's a real place. I believe we're all going to be there. And in Luke chapter 2 tonight, just a few thoughts about Christmas. And I love Christmas. I love being able to be with our family. My thing's family. Family get-togethers. We're trying our best to get all of our family. Our families are scattered out all over the world as missionaries. We don't get them all in very often together for Christmas. But this year we're doing pretty well. But My daughter Janet was here from Scotland. She had to go back home, left out yesterday, so pray, she made a safe trip home. Pray for them. They're in Perth, Scotland. And my son Jeff's in Winnipeg, Canada. And then we have Jennifer Roy there in Sherman. And then we have Lynn and JJ over there in Grapevine. Amen. And me and my wife, we're in Burleson. We're just wherever we can be for God. Amen. And but we love our kids, and we love them all serving God. But as we look here in Luke chapter 2, and looking in verse number 10, I want to bring it out to you this evening here. Luke chapter 2, and in verse number 10. And this is the birth of Christ. This chapter 2 is the birth of Christ. Talks about Jesus being born and all that. But verse 10 is the one, and 11 is the ones I want to mention. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the privilege to preach the word tonight. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for their pastor. Thank you, Lord, for the work of God that's been going on many years through this church. And Lord, I know their pastor very well, a good friend. And Father, I know he's a great Christian man. And I know this is a strong church and loves the Lord. We're just honored to be here tonight. And we're thankful for the time we can spend together in the word. In Jesus' name, amen. And my thought tonight, a real simple thought. On Christmas, remember Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. At Christmas time, yes, you get the gifts, the presents, all the stuff, you know, the turkey, the dressing, the ham, the pineapple, or bluebell ice cream, everything, you know. My kids, one thing they know, if they come to our house, I always have bluebell ice cream. Amen? I'm a bluebell fanatic. It's a wonder I don't weigh 450 pounds. But anyway, I love bluebell ice cream. And so they're ready when they're primed to come. Now, I tell them to bring banana puddings. Some of them do that. I don't believe you can go to heaven if you don't eat banana pudding. Got to have that too. But on Christmas, you know, a lot of stuff we can think about. But the main thing we need to do, remember the reason for the season. Remember that Jesus Christ is why we are having what we're having. Amen? He is our Savior. Came in this old world and lived and died and gave His life on the cross for us. Shed His precious blood that we might be born again and be saved and go to heaven. Amen? What a hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen? Hallelujah for the Lord Jesus Christ that loved us. God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, amen, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, amen. John, that's the greatest, probably the greatest verse in the whole Bible. Anyone can look at that verse and you can be saved very quickly, amen. But when I think about Christmas this evening, number one, I, on Christmas we're going to remember Jesus Christ. And the first thing I remember about Him is that I remember that He was pre-existence. His pre-existence. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible, we know in John 1, in the beginning, Christ was with God, and I believe that in the beginning there was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:12, amen. And was Jesus all along? Well, He was there pre-existing in the very beginning of this old world, and he was there to come into this world and to be our Savior today. He was in heaven in the beginning, and of course, thank the Lord for heaven, and I believe heaven's a real place. I believe hell's a real place, by the way, too, okay? I believe people without Jesus Christ, if they don't accept Christ in this life, they're going to die and go to hell, and I don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't tell you that. I mean, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you live. I don't care what's going on in your life. I mean, hell's a real place, and there's no use. The rich man in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torment, amen, and just put one drop of water on my tongue, I'm tormented in this flame. It's real. People, we start preaching on that, and they guys say, you preachers, you guys, you're just trying to scare people. If I could scare you enough to keep you out of hell, I would do it. I promise you that, amen. But I promise you this, that with the preeminence of the Lord Jesus, He was in heaven from the very beginning, amen. And He was there with God the Father. He had glory with the Father, God the Father there, and God's glory. And God sent His only begotten Son, amen. God came in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you're saved, guess what? You've got the Holy Spirit right inside you, don't you? Amen. I mean, you're a temple of the Holy Ghost, and I believe that the Holy Spirit lives within us. Remember the preexistence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the very beginning of this old world. He was in the very beginning when God created Adam and Eve there in that garden and everything. He was in the very beginning. And then also, remember, secondly, his birth was prophesied. I don't know about you. Now, I remember through the years, when we were going to have kids, there was a time or two that we thought, well, we want to have some children. We got married and everything, and so we wanted to, and it seemed like for a while it didn't happen very well. And then all of a sudden, one day, my wife woke me up one morning and said, we need to go to the hospital, amen? And we had to go to the hospital in Baltimore, Maryland, wasn't it? That's where I was working then. Can you believe I was in Baltimore? They called me a Baltimorean, and I was. But anyway, that was our first job. We were there after I graduated. We graduated from college at Baptist Bible College, Springfield, Missouri. Our first job, a guy hired us to work as associate pastor in Baltimore, Maryland. And so while we were there, our firstborn son, Jeff Williams, who's the missionary in Winnipeg, Canada now, he was born. And so I tell everybody my one son is a Baltimorean, but we can't help it. But he was born there, and we're thankful for him, amen. Now, our other kids were all born in, thank God, Texas, all right? But anyway, remember the birth was prophesied of the Lord, and we know that. And for unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And that's over in Isaiah 9:6. That was prophesied. His birth was prophesied way before he was ever born into this old world. And the angel Gabriel prophesied about his birth there in Luke 1 in verse number 26. And so I remember this birth was not an accidental birth when Christ came. It was prophesied for years and years and years. We have Bible prophecy. Like Bible prophecy, I don't know about you, but Bible, we talk about the rapture and things like that. You guys, y'all preach that for all these years. It hadn't happened yet. Well, 1 year of the Lord's 1,000 years, and one day of the Lord's 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day, amen? So probably we've only been around about 1 or 2 days right now. So we're real close. We're real close to that time. And it was prophesied. His birth was prophesied like no other that's ever been, and it came true. Then the third thing, I know this. I remember the place of his birth. Remember the place of his birth. And we know that according to in Luke chapter 2 and verse 4, when Christ shall be born, and then there shall be, let's see, I can't read them all right. There shall be a governor. I didn't read my word right there. But the place of his birth, Bethlehem means a house of bread. Bethlehem was the birthplace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was laid in a manger. Now, whenever you gave birth, you ladies, and to your children, how many of you had a little wooden deal with hay in there? And when your child was born, you put the little baby in that little hay, and that, I think we'd say, man, that child will never live like that. But you know what? When your child is born, our children, born in a hospital, amen? Get up in the middle of the night, whenever you have to go, you go to that hospital, you go up there, and you wait. My wife, whenever we had our second child born, I was in the waiting room, and they were in there delivering my child. And so pretty soon, our nurse came in and said, Mr. Williams, come on in here. And so they called me in. I went around there and went in this room, and there was my wife laying on this bed with a baby in each arm. We had twin daughters that were born, Jennifer and Janet, amen. And just like, what, 6 minutes apart, something like that? About 6 minutes apart. And they said what I did. I turned and walked out of the room when I saw we had twins. I could not believe we had twins. We had no idea. My wife had thought, you know, she said, and my wife, now she wasn't overweight because she ate too much. She was getting really big, okay? And there was a reason for it. Man. She had twins. And, I mean, our life, I'll tell you what, double trouble the rest of your life, amen. Everything you do, it's always double everything, you know, double clothes and all that. Give double birthday money. Man, I'm nearly broke paying off double money for birthdays on these people. But I'm thankful today that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was born, and we remember the birth. It was prophesied, and I wish our birth had been prophesied. We'd have known more, been more prepared. But the Lord, the angel Gabriel prophesied of the birth of the Savior. And then also, remember the place of his birth. Remember the place where Jesus was born, and we know that over in Luke 4, that when Christ shall be born, and thou Bethlehem, out of thee shall come a governor. Bethlehem, you know the word Bethlehem means the house of bread. The bread of life was born in the house of bread. And the place of his birth, it was in Bethlehem. And this is, he was laid in that manger. And he became poor for our sake. You would think that the King of all glory would be born in a palace, would be born and honored and prophesied like it was, and it would be a spectacular birth, maybe in the greatest conditions and all the world. But here was a little baby, Mary and Joseph, you know, they were going there to be able to go to the city, and they were going to go to the inn, and they said, what? There was no room for them in the inn. No room. You know what's sad right now in this world? There's no room in the world for Jesus right now either. There's no room in this world for Jesus Christ. People are running him down. People use his name as a curse word. I mean, it burns me when I hear somebody say Jesus is a cursing name, cursing way. I mean, I just be honest, I get in the flesh. If me and Marlon Mosley were around, we'd whoop him right then. Amen? I guarantee you. Because that's not right. Amen? I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for his name. And he became poor for our sake. He was laid in a manger and a humble birth. But you know what? Thank the Lord, our Savior. He lived 33 and a half years, gave his life for us. Then also I remember not only that, the announcement concerning his birth. Always great when you get announced, have things announced to you. And the angel of the Lord announced his birth there in Luke chapter 2. Good tidings of great joy shall be upon all people. For in this day a Savior is born. Amen. Isn't it good to have great news? It's good for someone to say, man, Jesus was born. Announce it. Pass the word around. Let everybody know. And let them know that Jesus Christ, he was born. And he was born and it was announced to the whole world. I mean, the star. Everybody can say, that star up there, what does that mean? That means there was a Savior that was born, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They announced, and he was announced as a Savior. Amen. We know that from Luke chapter 2. He was born. He was our Savior. He came to be a Savior. The world, you know what? The world is looking for Saviors today. I'm going to tell you something right now. I was watching a little bit of news before I come to church tonight. Our present president is not our Savior. And the guy they're trying to get back in there, old Trump, he's not our Savior either. I'm telling you that. He's not our Savior. And I don't know who our Savior is going to be. I know it's going to be the Lord Jesus. Amen. He is our Savior. But we need a Savior. We need a president that has enough courage in his life to put God back first in our schools and get our Bibles and all that and get Christianity back on the forefront and not putting in the back, and instead of the world being all messed up with the cults and all the ungodliness that goes on in the name of God and Jesus Christ is. And I believe that we've got to understand today that we have a Savior. We have a place that we can serve him through in our church. And the angels, they announced the birth of the Savior there in Luke chapter 2. The gospel was put out. Also, the angels announced that Christ would bring peace. We want peace. Everybody talks about peace of the world. Well, we're talking about peace of the world right now. All over this world, people are dying right now. They're dying right now. What they say, I think now, the latest total here recently in that Gaza area was over like 2,200 people have died. And they're still dying. They haven't got all the hostages released yet. I believe today that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to bring peace. They haven't got any peace going right now. They're trying to work it out. But yet, there's no peace going in this old world. It's ungodly around the world. And then also remember today the Father's love. Remember the Father's love. The love of a mother probably can't hardly be described how great that is. I mean, you see a mom that with that first hold, that first child, you know, after they've born that baby and cared that little baby till the birth time came. That's a great example. But I'll tell you what, when a dad goes in there and for the first time sees that new baby, man, I don't know about you guys, but I couldn't wait to hold that guy, amen? I couldn't wait to hold my baby. And my twins, man, I sure couldn't. When I got those twins, I had one in each arm. And I walked around our church holding those twins, man. I was so proud of those two kids, two girls, amen? I mean, what a blessing it is that we have our Father's love for us and our love is extended to all people. And I believe the Lord remember our love. God so loved us. If he didn't love us, we wouldn't be saved, wouldn't have Jesus tonight. I'm glad that we remember the Father's love. And I thank God so loved us. I thank God loved us that he would send his son for us. Then also we need to remember Jesus' compassion toward mankind. We got a lot of people right now, there's no compassion in the world. They don't care about anything anymore. They only care about us four and no more, you know. But I mean, remember the compassion toward mankind. And I know Jesus had compassion on the leprous man. You can read the story over there in Mark chapter 1 when this leper was healed and his life changed. He was going, he had no hope left till he came across the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the compassion, Jesus had compassion on a leprous person, a diseased person. He could have just walked on by. But Jesus was very busy when this took place, and he had time. Jesus always had time for others, didn't he? Amen. You know, and I hope we like that in our churches, our visitation time we do, and all we do is for the Lord. Let's have time for everybody. You know, we never know who's going to walk in our churches. Through the years, I've had all kinds of people walk. Our church in Burleson that I pastored so long, it's on I-35. When you go out of Fort Worth, I-35, and down there on the right side, you'll see Boulevard Baptist Church right there on the service road. And I've had all kind of people come in there. I had one Sunday. I ain't kidding you. This is the truth. I had a pack of Hell's Angels that came in our church. They parked on our parking lot. All those motorcycles, they come in that door, and they were coming in. And I said, "Preacher, you need to come to the back." The church hadn't started yet. You know, just people were visiting. And they said, "You need to get back there." I went back there, and, boy, they were starting to come in. I said, "Well, I'm the pastor, Brother Terry Williams. I'd just like to know, you know, who's the leader of your group?" This one man, he said, I'm the leader here and all that. And I said, "Well, why did you guys come here today?" He said, "We just wanted to come to church." Amen. I said, "You know what? You're welcome to come to this church." Amen. And I said it this way to him. I said, "All I ask is that you behave." And they said, "We'll do it." There's one guy, the leader, he said, "Preacher, no, I don't want," it was a lady, it was a woman, wasn't it? She said, "Preacher, I guarantee you one thing." She was like the big mama, I guarantee you that. She said, "These guys will behave themselves." And they went in our church, and we had a section for them. They sat back. They could sit anywhere they wanted. They sat back there. I guarantee you, when that service was over, every one of those folks came by and shook my hand and thanked me for letting them come to church there. And next thing I knew, they were on their bikes, and they were headed south to Waco, buddy. But they came to church, amen? And we didn't turn them away. And man, they were nice. I was so glad. I told our people, I said, "We don't know who's going to come in, but anybody's welcome. If they come in here wanting to hear the gospel and come for the right reason, let them come in. They're welcome here." I believe that ought to be true. And then also, my last point is this one. Remember his mission to the earth. The Lord Jesus' mission to the earth. What was his real mission when he came? What was his mission? I believe on Mark 1:38 that he said to preach, preach there also, to preach to them the word of God. His purpose was to preach. I believe Jesus was a preacher. Amen. Mark 1:38 is where you can see that. He was a preacher. He came to preach. And there are you see some of these guys on maybe TV or some of the things and there's one guy, he puts an article in the Fort Worth paper every week. He's a pastor of a church in Fort Worth, And looks like a nice guy. Some of his stuff makes sense, but boy, he is off base on what he believes. And I mean, putting that out there to people, and no way I could. He's not a preacher. I'll just put it that way. He's not a preacher. He's a wannabe preacher is what he is, I guarantee you. But Jesus came to preach. And in our church, you know, our churches through the history of this world and the history of our state, it was built on preaching. You know, years ago, going way back, Dr. G.B. Vick, president of Baptist Bible College, Springfield, Missouri, where my wife and I went, and then also J. Frank Norris in Fort Worth, Texas, those two guys, they were like co-pastors. They had the church in Fort Worth. They had the church at Temple Baptist in Detroit, Michigan. And they would swap going back and forth every week to preach one at the other. Each church ran 4,000 in Sunday school. 4,000. Every one of them. And they went back and forth preaching and doing that work. I mean, they were preachers. Those were old time. And those were tough guys, buddy. You didn't fool with J. Frank Norris. He actually, you know, shot someone, killed him. They come in his office and said, well, what would you do if they come in? Well, if they come in there and plan to shoot me, I'm going to shoot back if I have to. Amen. I don't want to. I don't even care. I don't carry a gun. But I'm so mean, I could whoop them anyway. It doesn't matter. But J. Frank Norris and G.B. Vick, man, they were men of God, boy. They were preachers. And no telling how many people got saved through the years in their ministry. What a blessing it is to think about it. What if we had a church of 4,000 people? What would you do, man? What a blessing. If you get one with 4,000, you ought to be able to do something for the Lord, amen? He came to preach. He also came to fulfill the law. And then the best of all, 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Somebody said, if the chief gets saved, everybody's going to get saved. Who was the chief? It was Paul, the Apostle Paul. He called himself the chief of sinners. Somebody said, I've had a guy come forward one time. He said, Brother Williams, I'm one of the worst sinners in Fannin County. I said, well, you know what? There's somebody else that's worse sinner than you are. You know what? The Apostle Paul said he was the chief of sinners. He's the worst sinner that ever lived. He admitted that he was the worst sinner. You may be a bad sinner, but you're not the worst. Paul was the worst. But praise God, Paul, on the road to Damascus, after putting Christians in jail and all that, praise God, on the road to Damascus one day, the Lord spoke to him, and he was gloriously saved. Amen? And without the Apostle Paul, you could just get rid of about half of the New Testament, because all those letters, he wrote them, every one, you know, wrote the Word of God. I believe today, on Christmas, we need to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to remember what Christmas really means to us today, and that we'll have a Christmas this year that will be the greatest we've ever had. And regardless of what you get, you know, I mean, I've already got at my house. I've already got. Somebody's already given me 2 shirts and about 3 neckties. I got about 4,000 neckties, but that's okay. I'll wear them. But I do have a brand new suit that they're tailored for me. Amen. Our church bought me a brand new suit, boy, and it's up there at Joseph A. Banks down there in Fort Worth. And I went in; they had to get it all tailored up. You know, I'm gonna have a weird body style, I guess, or something. But anyway, they're supposed to call me so I can go back. And I'm hoping on Christmas Day, I got my brand new Christmas suit on. Man, I'm gonna be so happy, and I'm looking forward to that. But I believe that Christmas is a great time to show each other love and to love the Lord Jesus, to win souls, bring people to church. Usually one of the biggest services we always have in the year is Christmas Sunday. I feel like probably your church, if it's like most of them, on Christmas Sunday, you'll see people come in, maybe you haven't seen them for 4 or 5 weeks or months, you know. But they'll show up for Christmas. Bless the Lord, as long as they show up for something. And just keep on preaching. Keep on working, amen. Jesus, he's the reason for this season. Let's have our heads bowed. We're going to have just a short invitation. And if the Lord speaks to your heart tonight, we would love to have you come forward and just gather here at the altar. If you need to be saved, you can sure be saved tonight. If you need to have a special prayer you want to pray, just talk to the Lord and maybe surrender your life. Well, I don't know what the need may be. You may need to pray for someone in your life that you're praying about and really concerned about. Just give you a chance. So could we just stand up for a moment or two here, and let me just, we'll just have a verse of invitation. and we'll just do just as I am, okay? And if God speaks here, if you need me to pray with you, I'll be glad to do that, okay? Just as I am without.